Ciao, ragazzi. So, I've been thinking for a long time about doing a sleep aid sort of segment. In that, I consider maybe reading a book or some Wikipedia articles, something nice and chill to snuggle up to. And then I thought, I love learning languages. And I have this interest in Italian. I briefly studied it in university, but I kind of lost it afterwards. So, a couple days ago, I bought Italian for Dummies, as one does, and I thought we could learn it together. So, without further ado, let's start. You also get the nice ASMR of me flipping through the pages. I don't know. It's a thing for me. I don't know if it's for you. So starting out, you already know some Italian. Although Italians are very proud of their language, they have allowed some English words to enter it. They talk, for example, about gadgets, jogging, feeling, and shockingly, they often use the word okay. And since computers have entered their lives, they say cliccare sul mouse, which is to click the mouse, and also lo zapping, which means switching TV channels with the remote. These are only a few of the flood of English words that have entered the Italian language. In the same way, many Italian words are known in English-speaking countries, like pizza, pasta, spaghetti, tortellini, mozzarella, espresso, cappuccino, panino, panini, biscotti or biscotto, tiramisù, amore, avanti, bambino, bambina, bravo, brava, ciao, and scusi. Getting to the root of cognates. In addition to the words that have crept into the language directly, Italian and English have many cognates. A cognate is a word in one language that has the same origin as a word in another and may sound familiar. You can get an immediate picture of what cognates are from the following examples. Aeroporto, airport. Attenzione, attention. Comunicazione, communication. Importante, important. Incredibile, incredible. You understand much more Italian than you think you do. Italian and English are full of cognates. To demonstrate, they actually have a little story here that's basically English interspersed with a bunch of Italian words, and I apologize in advance for how bad this is going to sound. It seems impossibile to him that he is now at the aeroporto in Rome. He always wanted to come to this città. When he goes out on the street, he first calls a taxi. He opens his bag to see whether he has the medicina that the dottore gave him. Going through this terribile traffico, he passes a cathedrale, some sculture, and many palazzi. He knows that this is going to be a fantastical journey. I think that's one of the worst things I've ever read. And I'm sorry you had to hear that. All right, moving on. Picking up popular expressions. Every language has expressions that you use so often that they almost become routine. For example, when you give something to somebody, they say, thank you, and you automatically reply, you're welcome. This type of popular expression is an inseparable part of every language. When you know these expressions and how to use them, you're on the way to really speaking Italian. Damn, this book is so good at getting me pumped. Alrighty, so here are some of the most common expressions in Italian. Accidente, which is wow or darn it. Andiamo, which means let's go. Che c'è, which is what's up. D'accordo, d'accordo, which means agreed, agreed. E chi se ne importa, which means who cares. E lo stesso, which means it's all the same or it doesn't matter. Fantastico, which means fantastic. Non fa niente, which means don't worry about it, it doesn't matter. Non c'è di che, which means you're welcome. Permesso, which means may I pass, or may I come in? Stupendo, which means wonderful, fabulous. And va bene, which means okay. Va bene is also kind of like the French version, like ça va, which if you can speak French, ça va means like, does it go? How goes it? How are you? What's up? And often you can have one conversation just with that. So someone will be like, ça va? And you say, ça va, ça va, ça va. And that's an entire conversation using two words. Hilarious. Anyway, mouthing off. Basic pronunciation. Italian provides many opportunities for your tongue to do acrobatics. This is really fun because the language offers you some new sounds. The section here includes some basic pronunciation hints that are important for both surfing through the book and for articulation. Starting with the alphabet. What better way is there to start speaking a language than to familiarize yourself with its alfabeto? Here we have a table that shows you how to pronounce each letter of the Italian alphabet. So we have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, E lunga. Why would they put it on separate pages? K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z, which is actually a lot like the Greek alphabet. Vowels. When it comes to vowels, the sounds aren't that new, but the connection between the written letter and the actual pronunciation isn't quite the same as it is in English. Italian has five written vowels. A, E, I, O, U. The following sections tell you how to pronounce each of them. The vowel A. In Italian, the letter A has just one pronunciation. Think of the sound of the A in the English word father. The Italian A sounds just like that. To prevent you from falling back to the other A sounds found in English, the Italian A appears as AH in this book, as shown earlier in casa. Some other examples are albero, marmellata, sale. The vowel E. To pronounce the E, try to think of the sound in the word day, which comes very close to the Italian E. In this book, you see the E as EH. For example, sole, peso, bere. The Italian E actually has two pronunciations, an open E and a closed E. The open E sounds like the E in English words like exit and bet, eh. The closed E is like the A in English words like late and day, such as nemico, nome, eh. And it says here, how do you know when to pronounce the open or closed E? You listen to many Italian songs and native Italian speakers and follow their lead. So basically they're saying, just figure it out. We don't have this here. The vowel I. The Italian I is simply pronounced E as the English word C, like cinema, bimbo, vita. The Italian O is pronounced as the O in English, like piano, and has appeared romanized as OH, like domani, piccolo, dolce. Just as the E has two pronunciations for the open or closed E, so does the O. You pronounce the open O in Italian like the O in English words soft, buono, notte, nove. The closed O sounds like the English word cold, which you'll see in Italian words sole, voto, torta. Again, the best way to get familiar with the two pronunciations is to listen to native speakers and practice. The vowel U. The Italian U always sounds like the English U, as in zoo. Here are some sample words. Tu, luna, frutta. You'll come across some sounds and spellings that aren't so familiar as well, like the oi in oink, noi, the I as in I in ice, dai, E as in feet, diva, A as in aid in lei, au as in out, auto. So those were all the vowels. Here are the consonants. Italian has the same consonants that English does. You pronounce most of them the same way in Italian as you pronounce them in English, but others have noteworthy differences. B as in bene, which is well or good. D as in dare, which is to give. F as in fare, to make or do. L as in ladro, which means thief. M as in madre, which is mother. N as in no, which means no. P as in padre, father. T as in treno, train. V as in vino, wine. Some consonants don't really exist in Italian except in some foreign words that have entered the language. J, it sounds like the J in jam, and exists mostly in foreign words such as jogging, jet, and jeans. K you will find in words like okay, ketchup, and killer. W you'll find in some foreign words like whiskey, windsurf, and wow. X, as with J, K, and W, doesn't really exist, with the difference that X words derive mostly from Greek. Examples include xenophobia, xenophobia, and xylophono, xylophone. The letter Y appears only in foreign words like yogurt, hobby, and yacht. The consonants in the following section are pronounced differently than they are in English. So the consonant C. The Italian C has two sounds, depending on which letter follows it. The hard C, when a C is followed by A, O, U, or any consonant, you pronounce it as the English word cat, with a K sound. So like casa, colpa, cuore. To get the K sound before E and I, you must put an H between the C and the E or I. Examples include chiesa, chiave. A soft C is followed by E or I. You pronounce it as you do in the first and last sounds in an English word, church. Therefore, the pronunciation is ch. Examples include cena, cibo, certo. I actually see a lot of this in English that people don't really know. So like bruschetta is what some people say, bruschetta. The CHE would be a K sound instead, so that would be a bruschetta instead of bruschetta. And also in Versace, as people say, I don't know, Westerners have this weird obsession with overpronouncing E's. So like in Japanese, their wine is like sake, and people say sake for some reason. It's the same with Versace, it's actually Versace. So the CE sound is a CHE sound and not a CHI sound, as a lot of people have said. It's one of my pet peeves. I'm sorry, I'll move on now. So let's see. The CH sound exists in CERA, CIBO, CELESTE, CINESE, CENERE. The K sound, MICHELE, CHIODO, CHIAVE, CHE, CHERUBINO. The consonant G. The Italian G behaves the same as a C, so it's presented here in the same way. A hard G, when followed by A, O, U, or any consonant, you pronounce it like the G in English, good, and the pronunciation looks like G. Examples include gamba, gomma, guerra. To get the G sound before E or I, you must put the H between the letter G and the E or I. It's like spaghetti, ghirlanda, ghiaccio. The soft G is followed by an E or I, and you pronounce it as you do the first sound in the English word job. Therefore, the pronunciation is J. Examples include gentile, giorno, gelosia. To get the J sound before A, O, or U, you have to insert an I. The I serves only to indicate the proper sound. You don't pronounce it. Examples include giacca, gioco, giudice. Here's another little pattern to help you remember these pronunciations. So the hard G, gamba, goma, guerra, ghiaccio, spaghetti, versus the J sound, gentile, giorno, giaccia, gioco, giudice. The consonant H has only one function, and that's to change the sound of C and G before the vowels E and I, as described earlier. It also appears in foreign expressions such as hostess, hit parade, and hobby. In some forms of the word avere, to have, it is always silent. The consonant Q. Q exists only in connection with U followed by another vowel. That is, you'll always find QU. The Q is pronounced like K, and QU is therefore pronounced qu. Examples include quattro, questo, and quandro. The consonant R. The Italian R is not pronounced with the tongue in the back as it is in English, but trilled at the alveolar ridge, which is at the front of your palate, right behind your front teeth. You have to practice it. In the beginning, you may not find this pronunciation manageable, but practice makes perfect. Like radio, per favore, prego. I personally cannot do this trill. I have practiced for hours. Maybe one day it's going to happen. Maybe you can do it already. We'll see how it goes. The consonant S. S is sometimes pronounced as the English S, as in so. In this case, the pronunciation is S. When in between vowels, it's pronounced like the English Z or Z, as in zero. In these cases, you'll see Z as the pronunciation. Examples include pasta, solo, chiesa, gelosia. The consonant Z or Z. A single Z is pronounced DZ, so Z. The sound is very similar to the English Z in zero, with a D sound added at the beginning, as in zero. When the Z is doubled, you pronounce it more sharply, like a TTS, tazza, tsa. Furthermore, when Z is followed by the letter I, it also has a ts sound, like in the word nazione, ts. And here we enter double consonants. When you encounter double consonants in Italian, you have to pronounce each instant of the consonant or lengthen the sound. The difficult part is that there's no pause between the consonants. Doubling the consonant usually changes the meaning of the word, so make sure that your Italian is understandable. Emphasize double consonants well. To help you pronounce words with double consonants correctly, the pronunciations include the first consonant at the end of one syllable and the other one at the beginning of the following one. Like these examples. Uno, which means ninth, nonno, which means grandfather, pala, which is a shovel, or palla, as in ball. Here we also have bello or bello, caffè or caffè, occhio or occhio, spaggia or spaggia. Consonant clusters. Certain consonant clusters have special sounds in Italian. Here they are. GN is pronounced as the English NY. The sound is actually the same as the Spanish word signorita. Or better yet, in Italian words like gnocchi, gno. The GL is pronounced in the back of the throat like the English word million, like li, and familia. It doesn't sound anything like the English G. SC follows the same rules as the soft and hard C from the previous section. It's pronounced as the English word scooter. When it comes before A, O, U, or H, that is, as in scala, or sconto, or scuola. Before E and I, it's pronounced like a sh, like in cash. Examples of this pronunciation include scina, miscela, scimmia. Stressing syllables properly. Stress is the audible accent that you put on a syllable as you speak it. One syllable always gets more stress than all the others. some words give you a hint as to where to stress them. They have an accent grave or acute above one of their letters, like caffè, which has the accent on the E, città, which has the accent on the A, and lunedì, which has the accent on the I at the end, perché, which has the accent on the E at the end, però, which has the accent on the O at the end, da, which has the accent on the A at the end, and virtù, which has the accent on the U at the end. Very interesting. It's fun to learn in the beginning. Okay. So, I think that's it for chapter one. Here. Only vowels can have accents. In Italian, all vowels at the end of a word can have this accent. If there's no accent in the word, you're unfortunately left on your own. A rough tip is that Italian tends to have the stress on the penultimate or next to last syllable, but there are too many rules and exceptions to list all of them here. Fortunately, only a few words have the same spelling and only an accent to distinguish them, but it can be a very important distinction. Like in the following example, E and E are distinguished only by the accent on the vowel and from a closed and open sound in the pronunciation. So that was chapter one. Here's chapter two. Dealing with numbers, dates, and time. In this chapter, we'll be counting to a billion, using ordinal numbers to indicate sequence, namely the days, months, and seasons, talking about time, and getting familiar with the metric system. Numbers crop up in all aspects of conversation, from counting to telling someone your phone number, to putting things in order. The good news is, in Italian, numbers are relatively straightforward, even though using them for dates, for example, may not seem so. This chapter gets you up to speed on counting, chatting about time and date, and using numbers with confidence in Italian. Starting with counting from zero to a billion, cardinal numbers. To express how many glasses of wine or scoops of gelato you want, you have to know your numbers. Let's look at some examples. And by examples, I mean we're just going to count. Zero, zero, one, uno, two, due, three, tre, four, quattro, five, cinque, six, sei, seven, sette, eight, otto, nine, nove, 10, dieci, 11, undici, 12, dodici, 13, tredici, 14, quattordici, 15, quindici, 16, sedici, 17, diciassette, 18, diciotto, 19, diciannove, 20, 20, 21, 21, 22, 22, 23, 23, 24, 24, 25, 25, 26, 26, 27, 27, 28, 28, 29, 29, 30, 30, 40, 40, 50, 50, 60, 60, 70, 70, 80, 80, 90, 90, 100, 100, 101, 101, 200, 200, 300, 300, 400, 400, 500, 500, 600, 600, 700, 700, 800, 800, 900, 900, 1,000, 1,000, 2,000, 2,000, 10,000, 10,000, 100,000, 100,000, 105,000, 105,000, 1 million, 1 milione, 1 billion, 1 miliardo. That was messed up. Okay. Building numbers in Italian. Before you can get very far using numbers in Italian, you have to know how to build them. For example, say you have a powerful appetite and want to order 12,600 fruity scoops of gelato. How do you convey that specific number? You'll be happy to know that you build Italian numbers in a direct manner similar to English. When building Italian numbers, you spell out large numbers as one word without the use of and to connect them. So if 12,640 is written and spoken as 12,640. God, that's so bad. 12,640. Oh my God. That, it's just one really big word. So to build numbers in Italian, simply add the larger number at the beginning, like the following examples. So 2 is due, 22 is 22, 122 is 122, 422 is 422, 1,422 is 1,422, 3,422 is 3,422. Okay. Here are some other specifics you need to know about using numbers in Italian. Oh, Italians use periods and commas in numbers differently from English. For example, 1.200 in Italian is 1,200 in English. Remember, this difference is particularly important when looking at bills. A dinner that costs 36,00 euros differs greatly from one that costs 36.00 euros. Telephone numbers are usually separated by periods rather than hyphens, and are broken into units of 2 rather than 3. Italian speakers often say units of 2 digits as one number. For example, 21.30.52 would be said 21.30.52. A 7-digit number may be given as 4.21.30.52 or 4, 21, 30, 52. However, nothing can stop you from simply saying each individual digit to relay a phone number, such as 2, 1, 3, 0, 5, 2. Speaking numbers like a native. When speaking numbers in general, you want to maintain the fluid nature of spoken Italian. To this end, from 20 through 90, the numbers 1, 1, and 8, 8, contract. This means they drop the final vowel from 20 and 30 and so on before adding 1 or 8. So, although some numbers follow the counting pattern such as 22, 22, or 75, 75, others, like 21, 21, rather than 21, and 68, 68, not 68, drop the final vowel from the tens and flow directly into 1 and 8. Alright, so, like, 28, 28, 31, 31, 51, 51, 68, 68, 91, 91, 48, 48. Also, numbers ending in 3 require the use of an accent when written out. Thus, the number 3, 3, when added onto one of the tens, becomes 3 with an accent, as in 23. 1, 1, is the only cardinal number that agrees in number, only singular, and gender with words it modifies. It works in the same way as the indefinite article. Un ragazzo, a boy. Una ragazza, a girl. Uno studente, a male student. Una casa, a house. Uno zio, an uncle. Un'amica, a female friend. Making sense of addresses. Like dates, which are covered later in this chapter, Italian reverses the order of street numbers and zip codes from the typical pattern in English. In Italian, numbers follow street names and precede city names, so an address may read something like this. Dot da Giulio Falcone, Via Verdi, 86, 20,000, which I forgot how to say, Firenze, Italia. This reverse order isn't the only thing that can make street addresses confusing in Italian. Occasionally, business addresses include a number and a color, such as rosso, red, and residential numbers are followed by a different color. Blue, for example. A street may have two buildings with the same number but with a color added. For example, Via Verdi, 86 blu, may indicate a residence. Via Verdi, 86 rosso, may indicate a store. These same numbers can be on different buildings, blocks apart, with only the color indicating the correct site. That is so interesting and so very confusing. All right. Putting things in order, ordinal numbers. To express the order, placement, or sequence of things, such as first, fourth, and eighth, you use ordinal numbers. Unlike cardinal numbers, ordinal numbers agree in gender with the nouns or pronouns they modify. Here is a list of ordinal numbers, let's say. Note that for numbers 1 through 10, the ordinal numbers are irregular, meaning they don't follow the pattern of simply adding essimo to their cardinal form. You'll have to memorize these. From 11 to infinity, you form ordinal numbers by dropping the final vowel of cardinal numbers and adding essimo, with a stress on the E. Here are some examples. Docesimo, 34esimo, 34th, centesimo, 100th. The only exception to the rule is a cardinal number that ends in tre. In this case, you retain the final vowel, but the stress doesn't change. Treesimo, 53esimo. That's so weird. What? 53esimo. Ordinal numbers. First, primo, prima. Second, secondo, seconda. Third, terzo, terza. Fourth, quarto, quarta. Fifth, quinto, quinta. Sixth, sesto, sesta. Seventh, settimo, settima. Eighth, ottavo, ottava. Ninth, nono, nonna. Tenth, decimo, decima. 11th, undicesimo, undicesima. 15th, quindicesimo, quindicesima. 20th, ventesimo, ventesima. 21st, ventunesimo, ventunesima. 23rd, ventitreesimo, ventitreesima. 30th, trentesimo, trentesima. 60th, sessantesimo, sessantesima. 100th, centesimo, centesima. 1000th, millesimo, millesima. 1000000th, milionesimo, milionesima. Here are several things to keep in mind when using ordinal numbers. You want to make sure the ordinal number that precedes a noun agrees in number and gender with that noun. For example, è la quarta persona nella fila. He is the fourth person in line. Questo è il mio nono figlio. This is the ninth son. Prima donna, first lady. I primi libri, the first books. To indicate that something has happened for the umpteenth time, you can use ennesimo, ennesima. Example, ennesima is feminine and singular, as is the noun it modifies. Volta. È l'ennesima volta che me ne parla. It is the umpteenth time he has talked to me about it. To refer to someone whose title carries a number, such as a king, like Henry II, you use Roman numerals in English and say Henry II. In Italian, you may also use a Roman numeral, but you don't use the article. So you say Enrico II, Henry II. Carlo V, Charles V. You can abbreviate ordinal numbers by placing an O or an A in a raised or superscript position to agree in gender with what you're talking about. Looking at the calendar, days, months, and seasons. In this day and age, to keep track of appointments or social events for yourself and others, you need a calendar. To talk about when an event occurs or what date marks a special anniversary, you need to know the days of the weeks and months of the year in Italian. This section provides all the info you need to know to navigate the calendar and seasons in Italian. Days of the week. In English, you generally start naming the days of the week with Sunday and you end with Saturday. In Italian, however, you begin with Monday, lunedì, and end with Sunday, domenica, which is how the days are organized in this following table. Monday, lunedì, Tuesday, martedì, Wednesday, mercoledì, Thursday, giovedì, Friday, venerdì, Saturday, sabato, Sunday, domenica. All the days except domenica are masculine. Using the definite article with the day, names change their meaning. A specific day to every one of those days. For example, la domenica avandamo dalla nonna. Every Sunday, we used to go to grandmother's. Il lunedì vado a scuola. Every Monday, I go to school. Il sabato non lavorano. They don't work on Saturdays. Chiuso il mercoledì. Closed Wednesday. So, it's the difference between saying Sunday and the Sunday. Kind of like in French as well. La Domenica versus Domenica. Domenica is just Sunday. La Domenica is every Sunday. Lunedì is Monday. Il lunedì, every Monday. Interesting, huh? Months and seasons of the year. Being able to express the day will get you only so far. You also need to know the months of the year, which are listed here. January, gennaio, February, febbraio, March, marzo, April, aprile, May, maggio, June, giugno, July, luglio, August, agosto, September, settembre, October, ottobre, November, novembre, December, dicembre. To remember which months have 31, 30, or 28, or sometimes 29 days, this children's rhyme can help. Oh boy. 30 giorni a novembre con aprile, giugno, settembre. Ce n'è uno. Tutti gli altri ne han 31. God, this is terrible. I'm so sorry. 30 days hath November, with April, June, and September. With 28 days, there is but one. All the others have 31. Interesting. Half of the seasons in Italian are feminine, and the other half are masculine. And like the days of the week and months of the year, they're not capitalized. So, here are the seasons. La primavera, spring. L'estate, summer. L'autunno, fall or autumn. L'inverno, winter. To say during the summer or winter or whichever season, you say in estate, in inverno, in autunno, in primavera. Specific dates. In Italian, you use cardinal numbers to express a specific date, except for the first day of the month. For example, oggi è il primo settembre, which means today is September 1st. Domani sarà il 2. Tomorrow is the 2nd. Il mio compleanno è il 4 settembre. My birthday is September 4th. Loro si sposano l'8 giugno. They are getting married June 8th. There are more specifics on how to note dates in Italian. The day and numbers always precede the name of the month. Lunedì 12 maggio è il suo compleanno. So Monday, May 12th, is his birthday. Onomastico è il 4 novembre, but his saint's day is November 4th. When you make a day or an appointment in Italian, as in English, you want to specify the day, the month, and the date. For example, you may want to fill in your own calendar with appointments as you discover how to say the dates. So Sunday, May 11th, I'm going to have a party would be Domenica 11 maggio, vado a una festa. To add a year to the date, put it after the day, number, and month. So giovedì 4 settembre 1947. God, I hate saying numbers. Thursday, September 4th, 1947. 1947. Interesting. L'undici ottobre 2006, which is October 11th, 2006. In a specific year, you use the contracted preposition nel, or in the. Luisa è nata nel 1983. Luisa was born in 1983. Generally, you abbreviate dates in the same order you write them. In Italian, that means day, month, year, so smallest to biggest. Sometimes you may see the month written in a Roman numeral. Also, periods are often used instead of slashes. So you write December 10th, 2012 as Dice Dicembre, 2012. Or 10/12/2012. Or 10.12.2012. To ask questions about dates, you can use the following expressions. Che giorno è oggi? What day is it today? E domani? And tomorrow? E ieri? And yesterday? E altro ieri? And the day before yesterday? E dopo domani? And the day after tomorrow? Quando è il tuo compleanno? When is your birthday? So here's a little talk in the talk segment. Sarah is doing a homestay with an Italian family in Castellaneta. They're getting to know each other. So the host mom says, Sara, quanti fratelli hai? Which means, Sarah, how many brothers and sisters do you have? And Sarah says, ho un fratello e due sorelle, which means, I have one brother and two sisters. The host mom says, quanti anni hanno? How old are they? Sarah says, mio fratello David ha 12 anni. My brother is 12. Rebecca ne ha 19. E mia sorella Naomi ne ha 21. My sister Rebecca is 19, and my sister Naomi is 21. And the host mom says, e quando è il tuo compleanno? And when is your birthday? Sarah says, il 22 maggio, May 22nd. The host mom would say, quanto dista casa tua de New York? How far is your house from New York? And Sarah says, 120 chilometri più o meno, 120 kilometers, more or less. So here are some words to know. Quanti, how many. Quanto, how much. Numero, number. Anni, years. Quando, when. Compleanno, birthday. Giorno, day. Mese, month. Telling time. After getting familiar with the numbers in Italian, you can use them to tell time. For telling time, you need to be able to count to 60. To ask the time, you can say, che ora è? Or, che ore sono? For 1 o'clock, noon, or midnight, the answers are, è luna, è mezzogiorno, è mezzanotte, respectively. All other hours need sono, before the hours, as shown in the following examples. So sono means it is. So, che ora è is what time is it? Sono le due, it is two. Sono le tre, it is three. And notice how there's le before the numbers, so it is the four, it is the five. So it is 5 o'clock is what they meant. So, sono le quattro, sono le cinque, le sei, le sette, le otto, le nove, le dieci, le undici, le dodici. And then for noon, it's mezzogiorno. And for midnight, mezzanotte, it's 1 o'clock, e luna. If you're following the 24-hour clock used for anything official, like the office hours, train, bus, plane arrivals and departures, or theater opening times, you can continue the counting through 24, 24. Thus, 5 o'clock in the morning remains le cinque, but 5 in the afternoon becomes le diciassette, which means 17. Another way to make the clear difference between morning, afternoon, or evening is to add di mattina of the morning, or del pomeriggio in early afternoon, or di sera, which means in the evening. Mattina means morning. Pomeriggio means afternoon. Sera means evening. One easy way to convert time is to subtract 12 from it. So, like 19 o'clock minus 12 gives you 7, which is the time on the 12-hour clock. When times are written numerically, Italians use a period to separate the hours from minutes. So the English 2:15 becomes 2.15. Here are some other considerations to keep in mind when telling time in Italian. In general, you add the first 30 minutes of the hour to that hour. So, sono le 2:10. So, it is 2:10. Sono le 4:20. It is 4:20. Blaze it. Sono le 10:20. It is 20 until 10. Sono le 5:15, which means it's 5:15. When referring to the past half hour, you can say mezzo instead of trenta, although more and more one hears mezza instead of mezzo, evidently referring to the feminine ora. È l'una e mezzo. It is 1:30. You may hear times that continue counting past 30 minutes and not simply with a reference to the 24-hour clock. So, sono le 2:45. It is 2:45. Thing is to happen, you say, a che ora? At what time? The reply is al, A-L-L, and it'll be mezzanotte, mezzogiorno, at whatever time it is. When talking about time, you often make reference to something that has already happened, or is about to happen, or will happen as a result of something else. To that end, the following expressions may be useful. Prima, which is first. Prima mangiamo. First, we'll eat. Poi, then. Poi andiamo. Then we'll go. Dopo, after. Dopo parleremo. Afterward, we'll talk. Fra, within. Fra mezz'ora, within half an hour. Più tardi, which means later. Più tardi e vedremo. Later, we'll see them. A più tardi, until later. Il mezzogiorno also refers to the southern regions of Italy. It also means midday. The regions include Sicily, Sardinia, and is frequently used in publications. Doesn't really matter to us here, but I guess it's a cute little fact. Here's another talking the talk segment. Alex and Marco are waiting for Lella, Marco's sister, to go downtown to the best gelateria, ice cream parlor. And Lella is late. So Alex says, come mai Lella ancora non si vede? Why is Lella not here? And Marco says, sai come Lella? Per lei, orologio è soltanto uno accessorio moda. You know how Lella is. Watches are only a fashion accessory for her. Alex says, ma ava meno. Appuntamento alle 4. Che ore sono adesso? But we were supposed to meet at 4. What time is it now? Marco says, le 4 o le 5. Che cambia? Comunque sono le 4:35. 4 or 5? What does it matter? If you really want to know, it's 4:35. Alex says, tu sarai anche abituato ai suoi ritardi, ma io no adesso la chiamo. So Alex says, you might be used to her tardiness, but I'm not. I'm going to call her. All right, familiarizing yourself with the metric system. If you're like most Americans, or for me, Canadians, the metric system quite simply defeats you. The decimal system is practically hardwired into U.S. residents. It's used almost exclusively outside of scientific fields. So what do you really need to know about the metric system? The temperature would be nice. So would knowing how much of something to buy in a food market or at the gas station. If you're cooking, being able to convert oven temperature may be useful. Likewise, knowing how to figure out the body's temperature is helpful. Measuring in metric units. A dual scale, in grams and ounces, and dual measuring cups are invaluable as you try to cook with metric measures. As for weights and measures, a kilogram is about 2.2 pounds. When you go to the market, you'll want to be familiar with these metric conversions. So if you're buying meats, fish, or cheeses, and want about a pound, a mezzo kilo, a half kilo, should be about right. Loaves of bread tend to weigh about the same, a mezzo kilo. Vegetables are a little harder to measure, so you may want to use the old standbys. Una manciata, a handful. Due manciate, two handfuls. Un ciuffo, a tuft. Due ciuffi, two tufts. Un cesbo, a head. Due cesbi, two heads. Un mazzo, a bunch. Due mazzi, two bunches. Use ciuffo or ciuffi for herbs like parsley and basil, and cesbo and cesbi for heads of lettuce and other green leaf vegetables. Remember that you're not the one picking out the vegetables and fruits. That is, you're not handling them. That's the greengrocer's job. You simply do not touch the fruits and vegetables on offer. For cold cuts, knowing that un netto equals 100 grams, or about 3.5 ounces, should be sufficient information. If you're especially hungry, due etti di prosciutto crudo, which is 200 grams or 7 ounces of prosciutto, is about right. Here are a few other situations where knowing the metric system will come in handy. If you need to buy gas for your car, benzina, not gasolio, which refers to diesel fuel, you'll need to know how to convert liters to gallons. 1 liter multiplied by 0.26420 equals about 1/4 of a gallon. So 4 liters are a little more than a gallon. Close enough? To convert miles to kilometers, multiply the number of miles by 1.60934. For example, if you want to drive 60 miles per hour, that'll come out to 96.6 kilometers per hour on your speedometer. In other words, if it's 100 kilometers away, it is only a little more than 60 miles. To know whether your weight is holding steady, 1 pound is 0.4536 kilos. If you're used to weighing 180 pounds, it can be a bit of a shock to see your weight drop precipitously to its kilo equivalent of 82. That's the end of chapter 2. I don't know about you, but I'm thoroughly confused. I'm going to go back and read over some of these again. I think a bunch of it is mostly memorization and also familiarization, but this, again, is just a sleep aid. So hopefully you're snuggled up and chilling in your bed or a chair somewhere comfortable. I think this is enough for one day. And next time, we will continue with salutations. I hope you're having a good day or night, and we'll see you next time.